We sang the song, "These Are the Days of Elijah," this morning. And we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a long chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell the story. I asked Pastor Staley to read the Ten Commandments because the problem that Elijah faced was that people were disobeying the Ten Commandments, and he came to call them to repent. Now I'm going to speak to you as if I were Elijah this morning, okay? For a while, and then we'll look at some things together. I'm Elijah the prophet, and I'm the only prophet that the Lord took to heaven in a chariot of fire. But that's a story for another day. Today I'm speaking to you from heaven. I was born in the area of Tishbe in Upper Galilee, one of the tribes of Zebulun, of Naphtali and Zebulun. And my name, Elijah, combines two words, El, which means God, and Jah, which means Lord. My name means God is the Lord. James speaks of me as of himself as a servant of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, he says of me that Elijah was a man just like us. So like you, I am a servant of the Lord, first and foremost. God was my Lord and I was God's servant. James also says this about me, that I was a man of prayer. I prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. I prayed again and it rained. I was a man of prayer. As a prophet, I was like John the Baptist. I came to tell people to repent of their sins. What does it mean to repent? Admit their sins. They weren't admitting it. Be sorry for their sins. They weren't sorry for them. Confess their sins. They were to confess their sins. And turn away from their sins, worshiping other gods, disobeying all the Ten Commandments, not caring that they disobeyed them, and turn back to following the Lord and worshiping Him. When did I live here on earth? I lived 860 years before the birth of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. For 58 years, Israel had been split into two separate kingdoms, the northern and the southern, Israel and Judah. Since Solomon, seven men had ruled as king, and the king who now ruled was Ahab, and his queen was Jezebel. They were kings of the kingdom had been divided. My mission was to the northern kingdom where King Ahab and Queen Jezebel reigned. This is what your Bible says about King Ahab. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he set up golden calves for them to worship, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, and he had built in Samaria. In other words, he made the worship of Baal, the sun god, a state religion. That's what people were to do. He also made an Asherah pole, and he did more to provoke the Lord than any of the kings before him. Now these Asherah poles, their worship was like pornography. There's a lot of sexual stuff that went on in that. Queen Jezebel and King Ahab were partners in wickedness. Now, the people in Israel, they spoke of where they followed the king and the queen in their worship, but they also said they feared the Lord. Now, can you do both? The Bible says what? You can't serve two masters. The Lord is holy, these were not. The Lord is righteous, these were not. The Lord's commands were righteous commands, how to love Him and how to love others. They were not. And now the word of the Lord came to me, and I'd like to say a word about that. The word of the Lord came to me. He spoke to me through Moses, but He also spoke to me through dreams and visions. The word of the Lord came to me. He made it plain to me I was to do something. What was I to do? I was to go and see King, to confront King Ahab. And so, dressed in a black garment, upper black camel's hair, lower part was leather. This was a sign of I was a prophet. It was also a sign of poverty. It was also a sign that I'd renounce all the stuff that went on to worshiping these gods. And this is what I said to Ahab. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. There would be no rain. There would be no crops. Things would die for the next few years. I was very zealous for the Lord, and God's people had broken the agreement He'd made. They'd broken the covenant. Ahab and Jezebel were leading them the wrong direction. And when I said this, my life was immediately in danger. This put my life in danger. And so the Lord told me to go to the brook Cherith. It was a brook that flowed into the Jordan River, and there I stayed until it ran dry. And how did God feed me? How did He provide? He sent ravens in the morning to bring me bread and meat, and ravens in the evening for bread and meat. And then when the brook dried up, He sent me over to Zarephath. And that sort of makes me chuckle a little bit, because Zarephath was where Jezebel had been raised. He sent me there, outside of Israel. And there the Lord used me and blessed me. I was a blessing to the widow that I stayed with. I performed miracles that sustained her. A son died. And the Lord performed a miracle and raised that son to life. And then the word of the Lord came to me. 3 years later, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. For 3 years, King Ahab had been looking for me. For 3 years, Jezebel had been seeking to rid the land of all the prophets of the Lord. How successful had she been? Very successful. 100 prophets had survived in 2 caves when one of the court officials hid them from her. But she was bent on destroying all the prophets of the Lord. The effects of the drought were severe, but I was to go and talk to King Ahab. And so it was, as King Ahab and Obadiah were looking, scrounging around for food for their animals, that I met Obadiah and said, go tell your master I'm here. The king, I was to meet with the king. And when Ahab met me, he said, is that you, you troubler of Israel? And my response to him was, it's not me who has troubled Israel, it's you and your sin. He was blaming me for the famine, but it was his sin. God is righteous. And he was punishing it. He was punishing Ahab. He was punishing Israel. God had said, you shall have no other gods before me. And they were worshiping other gods. God has said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. And they were busy trying to murder God's prophets. They were to worship God in the way he specified in the temple. And they were to curb their imagination. What am I talking about when I say curb their imagination? Well, God is too big to be represented by any pictures. He is too big to make something out of metal or wood to picture him. He's just too big. And they had idols all over the place. They were to love God and love him alone. They were to love him constantly. They were to love him sincerely. They were to love him solely. And they were to devote their lives to him with all that was in them. They were to obey him alone. They were to guard their heart against their sinful impulses. They were to delight to do his will. They were to worship him. They were to stand firm against all the bad stuff that was going on around them. God was holy and righteous. He promised to bless them if they would return to him. When I told Ahab God was going to send rain, and he accused me of being troubling Israel, I reminded him that he had abandoned the Lord's command. And then I said, summon the people from all over Israel to meet with me on Mount Carmel, and bring with you the 400 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of the Asherah that sit at Jezebel's table. King Ahab sent throughout all of Israel and assembled the prophets. He wanted the drought to end. And when they all arrived, I stood up and I asked them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. You can't do both. You can't serve two masters. No one could serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Baal. When the people said nothing, I pointed to the 450 priests of Baal and the 400 priests of the Asherah. And I said, get two bulls for us. And they can choose whichever one they want, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not to set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull. And the God who answers by sending fire from heaven, he's the one who's the true God. Now, Baal was the god of fire. This was appealing to them. And the people all said, what you say is good, what you say is good, what you say is good. They were in favor of this. I told them they could go first. Choose whichever bull you want. Sacrifice it. Put it on the wood. Put it on your altar there. Call on the name of your God, but don't light a fire. So, Israel is faced with a choice. So the priests of Baal did that, and they called on their God to send down fire to consume the animal. They called on him until all morning long, and their frenzy increased. Their way of worshiping, there was dancing. They would dance around, they would shout the Lord, and eventually they become so friendly they began cutting themselves to ask Baal to come down and answer them and for fire. And then I began to poke fun at them. I said, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you better try a little louder. Maybe he's off somewhere. Maybe you just need to work a little harder at getting his attention. Well, noon passed, and they continued to pray in this frantic way. But there was no response. Their God didn't answer them. And then I turned to the people and I said, come here. The altar of God was in ruins. I took 12 stones, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and I rebuilt the altar. Then we put wood on it. Then I butchered the bull, and I put the pieces of the bull on that. And then I dug a trench around the altar. And then I said to some bystanders, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the offering, pour it on the wood. They did it once. I said, do it again. They did it again. I said, do it again a third time. And they did it again. So there's water running all down in a trench around the altar. And then I prayed, oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. That you're here and you're turning their hearts back again. And then just for the 4th time in Israel's history, fire of the Lord came down from heaven. The times before had been when David and Solomon had offered sacrifices at the temple. Fire had come down from heaven. It had happened when Moses was offering the sacrifice at the tabernacle. Fire came down from heaven. And the fire of God came down from heaven. It burned up the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It melted the stones. Now you know that was a fire, wasn't it? Bricks, special bricks will melt at 3,000 degrees. It was all gone. They were consumed by this fire. The scorched earth is all that's left. And the people all said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. They couldn't say it often enough. The Lord is God. They fell on their faces and they're still saying, the Lord is God. God is the righteous judge of all the earth, isn't he? He will punish the wicked. He will forgive those that repent. He is the righteous judge of all the earth. Immediately, I said, don't let anyone get away. Grab those priests. God's word said, if there's a prophet, there's anyone that leads people to worship another god, is anyone that speaks that's not the truth, they're die. And so, I saw they were all executed there. They pushed them off the cliff, and they all died. God is righteous. And then I said to go to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for the sound of heavy rain is coming. Go and eat. A meal went with the sacrifice. And already I was hearing the sound of wind, the coming wind that precedes the rain in the forest. I went with my servant to the top of the mountain. We looked out over the Mediterranean Sea. I told him to go and look. 7 times I told him to go and look. The first 6 times he couldn't see anything, any rain coming. But the 7th time he said, oh, I see some mist rising out there. I went to Ahab and said, you need to get in your chariot and head on back to your capital, because a heavy rain is going to come. It's 6 miles and you need to go. And then, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, I ran ahead of him the whole way back there. Now, my time on Mount Carmel was one of three great mountaintop experiences that are recorded in the Bible. The first was when Moses was given the Ten Commandments by God on the top of Mount Sinai. This on the top of Mount Carmel was the second. What was the third? The third was the great mountaintop experience was in the New Testament, on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and myself came down from heaven and met with Jesus, and we were in our heavenly glory, and also present there were Peter, James, and John. Jesus was there. The law had come through Moses. People had been called to repentance through me. But grace and truth had come through Jesus Christ. He alone could atone for sin. He alone could be the sacrifice that would mean people could be forgiven of their sin. No sinful person could die and spare the life of another in their terms of their eternal salvation. But Jesus could do that. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. Grace and truth had come through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus became the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now let me just step aside here and not be Elijah anymore. Now, 1 Kings 18 is a great chapter. Many repented that day. They turned away from their sin. And they followed the Lord. The fire spoke of God's wrath and anger against sin. It spoke of the need. The bull spoke of the need for atonement. And we learned about prayer, didn't we? Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. Elijah had prayed. There was no rain for 3 years. He prayed again, and then there was rain again. Now, what responsibility do you have? You have God's Holy Spirit. You trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. What's your responsibility? And we're told here in James 5, verse 20, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. You turn a sinner from his ways, he confesses his sins, he's forgiven of his sin. He's turned away from his sin and you cover over a multitude of sins. God covers our sin. He forgives us our sin. We're covered with God's forgiveness when we go to him. When we go to people and encourage them to turn away from their sin. Now, when God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus, the Bible says that he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He came to prepare the way of the Lord, to clear the way for Jesus to come. He told them they needed to produce fruit in keeping with their repentance. And every tree that did not would be cut down and thrown into the fire. They needed to admit their sin. They needed to confess their sin. They needed to be sorry for their sin. And they needed to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit that brought about that confession of sin. Or they faced the fires of hell. That was John's message. Jesus was coming. Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit or with fire, and with fire. Repent or perish. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I have some questions for you. Do you believe that your only hope in escaping death, eternal death, is to lay hold upon the mercy of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that confessing your sins and believing that He will forgive you your sins because He took the punishment for your sins, that your only hope is in that? Do you believe that Jesus is the one who redeemed you by dying on the cross for your sins? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again and ascended to heaven and one day come again, riding on the clouds? And with Him will be who? Elijah, Moses, all the saints that have gone before Him. Can you say with the people of Israel, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God. I'm saved through Jesus Christ. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's also just." Joshua, in his farewell speech back in the beginning of the Old, more towards the beginning of the Old Testament, said to all of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people on Mount Carmel were told, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Who will you serve? The God who answers by fire and who can destroy you? The God who will forgive you if you confess your sins? Will you choose to serve Him? Or will you choose to serve the God that is no God? And do you choose to be punished by God, by the holy, righteous God, for your sin? If you confess, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory. If we confess our sins, He forgives us our sin and purifies us of all unrighteousness. And without fail, just as He showed Elijah what to do with the days of his life, He will show you what to do with your lives. How to live for Him, how to follow Him, how to be a blessing to others. And He will bless you in this life, maybe, always in a certain sense, but also in the life to come. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the message of salvation. We thank You for Your faithful people that have gone before us. We pray now that You will help us to follow them. Help us, O Lord, to be a blessing to the world that needs to hear of the Savior and to confess their sins and to turn from their sin. Our days aren't so different from those of Elijah. There's people busy doing all sorts of things, all the types of things that were going on with Queen Jezebel, King Ahab. There's people that say, "Yes, we're Christians, but they are serving two masters." Lord, help us to listen to what You have to say to us and be guided by that. We thank You that You have spoken to us in these last days through Jesus Christ. It's very clear to us. And we ask now that You will go with us and You will bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.